Joining me now is State Representative Scott Drury, a Democrat from Highwood. He's also a Democratic candidate for Attorney General. Although there was a little wrench thrown into that on Friday when a Cook County judge ruled a deficiency in your filing, not because of lack of signatures, but a question on paperwork. You intend to appeal that.
Absolutely, and good morning. The matter is already on appeal, and I'm confident that we will be on the ballot come March. The fact is that when you're doing very well and you run a reform campaign, there are a lot of people who want to try to get you off the ballot, and we take that as a sign of strength.
So let's kind of say, who is Scott Drury? I mean, there are some notable things, and we'll talk about those, but who are you? And you were briefly a candidate for the Democratic nomination for governor when Lisa Madigan decided not to seek re-election.
Right. So I'm an attorney. I've been practicing for about 20 years now. Grew up in the northern suburbs of Chicago. Spent most of my legal career at the U.S. Attorney's Office here in Chicago, all under Pat Fitzgerald, where I was working on public corruption cases. I did a major civil rights case against a police officer who beat up a helpless victim who was handcuffed in a wheelchair. And after about 7.5 years there, I thought maybe I could do more public service and clean up the state of Illinois from the inside. So I ran for state representative, and for the last 5 years, I've been probably the chief advocate for ethical and just ethics reform in the state of Illinois.
Now, of course, being as a Democrat, you've had your run-ins with Speaker Madigan.
Yep.
You did not vote for him. You were the only Democratic legislator did not vote for him for speaker, and that's kind of become a hallmark for your tenure in the legislature.
Well, and it kind of was a buildup. The beginning of my third term, I did not vote for him for speaker, and over the two previous terms, I saw things in the House. I've had conversations with him that made me realize he doesn't speak for me, and I don't think he should be speaking for anybody in the state of Illinois. The state. Everyone, when you talk to them, oh, Illinois is corrupt and it's going in the wrong direction. It's much worse than people think. And the conversations that I've had, the things that I've seen over the last 5 years, really have spawned this race. We need an attorney general who is going to be independent of politics. It's a shame that this is an elected office, a partisan office, because that creates doubt in the minds of the public. Is the attorney general really on my side? And I can tell you, and the public should know, given the stances that I've taken against my own party to my own political detriment, that I'm doing this because I want to see the state move in the right direction for the first time in my lifetime.
So when you say about conversations that you've had, what are you talking about?
So leading up to the last election, it was in October, the speaker and I hadn't spoken in months. There was another vote that I didn't go along with him regarding taking away the union's right to strike, and I just thought that was the wrong thing to do. So I was trying to pass for years legislation to protect children, to protect their data when it's used in school. They get these iPads, they get these Chromebooks, and then I had legislation for years I was trying to move. Apple was against it, Facebook was against it. And finally I was speaking with his general counsel, the speaker's general counsel, and said, hey, I'd like this to move again. Within a minute or 2 minutes of that phone call, I get a call from the speaker, hey, we should go to dinner. So we go to dinner at the Union League Club here in Chicago, and all of a sudden there's just this shady juxtaposition of campaign contributions and my legislation. And at that time, you know, the speaker was concerned about Donald Trump. He was starting up a super PAC that was head by a senator, a state senator that was raising tons of money, and he hit me up for like $60,000 or $70,000, and we hadn't, like I said, we hadn't spoken in ages. And at the same time, we're talking about this legislation that the only purpose was to protect kids. And so I made no commitments during that conversation, but the whole thing made me feel just so gross.
You're talking about the Lyft PAC that Senator Biss was running?
And I'd said to him, like, look, I don't take money from you. I don't take money from the party. I'm not going to give you $60,000 or $70,000. And he said, don't worry about it. We have another way to do this. And he gave me a flyer that described Lyft PAC. And, you know, you could do it that way. It's like, I'm not going to be part of that. That's not how I function. And so came home that night and said, I've done nothing wrong, but just being in that conversation makes me feel so gross. And the next day I called up the speaker and I said to him, I just want to make sure in no uncertain terms that there's no agreement between you and me for anything. I don't work that way. And he said, Scott, I don't work that way either. And I said, okay. And that was the last time we spoke until there became rumors that I might run for speaker. And then he called me again. He said, you know, we should talk again. Are you going to run for speaker? So this time we met at his law office in Chicago on LaSalle Street. Just me and him. And, you know, he was showing me stuff. Are you going to run for speaker? Is Jim Durkin going to nominate you to be speaker? But the weirdest thing about that conversation was that at the very beginning, he gets up really close to me, like talking to my chest almost. And he says, I just want to make sure we're clear on one thing. You had made that phone call to me a few months ago. I don't do that. I don't sell legislation. And I've had enough experience as a federal investigator working on police corruption and seeing how people talk when they think someone's wearing a wire. And there was no question in my mind that comment was made because he thought I might be working with the federal government. And it was kind of amazing to me. I walked out of that meeting and I was just like, there's absolutely no relationship here. I could never vote for him to be speaker again. And we need wholesale change in this state because this is just a mess.
We're speaking with Scott Drury, Democratic state representative from Highwood, also a candidate for attorney general in the Democratic nomination. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson from the Chicago Tribune. Joining me here is State Representative Scott Drury, a Democrat from Highwood, a Democratic candidate for Attorney General. What do you see as your agenda? Is it the corruption agenda as your themes for being Attorney General?
Sure. My theme is I'm running for Attorney General to clean up Illinois, and certainly a major part of that is dealing with the endemic corruption in our state. For too long, the state has outsourced public corruption investigations to the federal government, to Tribune investigative reporters, to the Better Government Association. We should be doing that in-house. And, you know, we need an attorney general that the public knows is independent, that the public knows has experience investigating and in convicting people of public corruption. And that's what I bring to the office. Now, certainly, part of cleaning up Illinois, we need to deal with the gun violence epidemic and the opioid epidemics, and that's a big part of why I'm running as well. Again, I have experience on the federal side. I worked in the federal program Project Safe Neighborhoods, which was a proven success in reducing gun violence in the early part of this century. And, you know, I know that it takes a comprehensive approach. It's not just about sentencing. We need to invest in communities and look at the societal issues that cause gun violence. So when you look at the state, it's just I don't see enough will on the part of politicians to fix the real problems that the state has, and that's why I'm running, and those are the issues that I'm going to tackle starting on day one.
When there have been campaigns for attorney general in the past, people always bring up the I'm going to go after corruption. There's the issue of the limitations of the office as far as, you know, some people proposing that the attorney general have the right to engage in statewide grand juries to directly refer prosecutions, directly prosecute rather than refer. The argument now being that they have to refer prosecutions to local prosecutors, county prosecutors. A lot of reluctance to that because it's turf war and political agendas with that as well. But there's nothing that necessarily stops the Attorney General from conducting investigations.
Well, and I actually do not subscribe to the theory that the Attorney General doesn't have the power to open up statewide grand juries. There's been a lot of talk about that, and the current Attorney General says that she can't do that. But when you look at the actual Constitution, it's very vague about what the Attorney General's powers are. It just says, well, she'll have the powers granted to it at law. And going back historically, what that meant is at law was at common law. And when you look back in history, that granted the Attorney General broad grand jury investigative powers. And so I believe that under the current Constitution, these investigations can be open. And in fact, when I was at the U.S. Attorney's office back in 2003 is when I started, Lisa Madigan was actively investigating Governor Blagojevich's administration for corruption. Now that stopped, but she was doing it. And, you know, I have the experience to lead these investigations, to direct these investigations, and I'm confident that we will be able to recruit some of the best prosecutors in the state of Illinois to come over to the Attorney General's office and work on these cases and turn this office into one that's on par with the U.S. Attorney's office in Chicago.
What is the cooperation like between the Illinois Attorney General's office and the U.S. Attorney's office?
I can't completely speak to that. I know that when I was at the U.S. Attorney's office, there was this letter written by then U.S. Attorney Pat Fitzgerald to Lisa Madigan saying, hey, you're investigating, we're investigating, let's work this out amongst us.
Well, I mean, should there be more,
yeah,
more of a relationship in those?
I think there should, and I can, you know, I can be that bridge because I still have a lot of contacts. John Lausch, he was a colleague of mine when I was at the U.S. Attorney's office, and I don't subscribe to these turf wars, whether it's between state's attorneys and attorneys general, whether it's between the U.S. attorney and the attorney general. Everybody has the same common goal, which is to do justice. And if one investigation is further along than the other, then someone should help out with it. If one agency has better resources to work on an investigation, then the other people should help out on it. You know, my goal is to make the state a state that people can trust. And I know that there is more than enough to go around for the AG's office, the U.S. Attorney's office, and the state's attorney's offices to investigate all of this and still have plenty to do.
A lot of talk in this campaign among candidates about attorney generals being kind of a role to go up against moves by President Trump and the Trump administration involving areas on from environment to immigration, whatever. Where is the balance between that kind of role as versus what the citizens of Illinois and the common kind of protections that are supposed to be afforded by the Attorney General's office?
I don't think they're mutually exclusive. If an executive order comes out of the White House that infringes on the constitutional rights of citizens here in Illinois or residents of Illinois, then it's incumbent upon the Attorney General in Illinois to protect those citizens, to stand up for the laws that we have here in our state. And so a lot of these lawsuits haven't really been filed by the Attorney General in Illinois, but she's joined in them.
Right.
I think that's absolutely the right thing to do. In present times, the attorneys general across the country are the only roadblocks to bad policy coming out of the White House, because Congress certainly isn't going to stop it. I think that, you know, that would exist regardless of who the president is. The attorney general needs to represent the people in this state. And so that would be, you know, part of my agenda. And I have experience, you know, litigating in federal court. That's where I practiced exclusively when I was at the U.S. Attorney's office. And that's something that I bring to this office that a lot of the others don't, is that I've been a practicing attorney the entire time. I'm a member of the federal trial bar here in Chicago. I teach trial advocacy at Northwestern's law school. So I'm not running to be a figurehead. I'm running to be a hands-on attorney general who is going to, you know, give a pulse to this office that's going to make it on par, like I said, with the U.S. attorney's offices here in the state, and on par with the New York attorney general office, which everyone's always talking about what Eric Schneiderman's doing out in New York. Well, they should be talking about what we're doing here in Chicago and here in Illinois. And that's what I'm going to do with the office once I'm the attorney general.
Aside from the issue of corruption, which I'm kind of expecting you would say, but when you look at Lisa Madigan's tenure as attorney general of the state, is there an area that you might have highlighted or she's been deficient on differently?
She should get accolades where they're due, and I think she's done a very good job on the consumer protection side. And I certainly would want to see the office continue doing that. Where I think, besides corruption, where the office possibly could have done more is just using the office's platform, to talk about bigger issues in the state of Illinois, like gun violence. The Attorney General isn't going to pass legislation, but certainly could be advocating for the solution to the problem and be on the front lines of, you know, is increased mandatory minimum sentences, is that going to solve the problem, or does it take more? And it certainly takes more. And like I said, the Attorney General is a position that I think people in the state of Illinois, they want to trust that person. So if the Attorney General speaks out and says, this is the solution to gun violence, or at least part of the solution, we need to invest in our schools, we need to have after-school programs, we need to have major criminal justice reform, that's going to resonate with the people in the state, and it's going to resonate with members of the General Assembly, and that's how we're going to get the change. So I want to use the office as a platform for advocacy to move tough issues, not just easy ones that are popular, but issues that may be controversial but are necessary.
So more of a bully pulpit.
Whether it's a bully pulpit or it's just an educational pulpit or both, it certainly needs to be used in that way. People should be able to look to that office and say, what's the answer? And they should be able to trust what that answer is and trust that answer isn't political, that it's the answer that's just the right thing for everyone, Republican, Democrat, or Independent, for everyone in the state of Illinois.
Representative Drury, your website is?
ScottDrury.org.
And we will stay tuned as the appeal takes place.
Thank you. I appreciate the time this morning.